Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is Providence Journal political columnist Ed Fitzpatrick. Good to see you, Ed.
Good to see you, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome our special guest, State Representative Frank Ferry, a Warwick Democrat who's running this year for Lieutenant Governor. Thanks for joining us, Frank.
Good morning. Thank you.
We're going to start off with some questions for our special guest, Frank Ferry. Frank, there are some liberals who are not so happy to see you giving up your seat in the Rhode Island House of Representatives. They see this as a setback for the progressive cause in the House. So why does it make more sense for you to run for an uncertain political campaign like Lieutenant Governor and give up your seat in the House?
We need someone in government who lives the challenges of our tough economy. Every day I do that. And who will lead on the issues that are important to all Rhode Islanders, what they care about. So improving the economy, creating jobs, providing health care for all Rhode Islanders with high quality and have access to high quality, affordable health care, holding government accountable and standing up for most vulnerable citizens, especially seniors and those who lack a voice in government. I want to be a trusted resource that Rhode Islanders can come to when they feel that government has let them down. That's why I'm running.
Just to briefly follow up, you're one of three Democrats running for lieutenant governor. You are not guaranteed a victory, whereas your House seat seems pretty secure. You feel like it's worth it to take a shot for lieutenant governor rather than continuing to articulate for the issues you specified in the House.
Well, I see this as an extension. You know, I've been in business for 30 years. I don't just talk about the struggles that we have in business. I live it every day. I understand what business needs and what workers needs. And, you know, we have the highest unemployment rate. We're the last to come out of this recession. And I want to bring my 30 years of business experience to this office to get Rhode Islanders back to work.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering why it took so long for you to announce. So one of the state's top labor leaders with the UFCW, one of the more politically active of the private sector unions, worked with you and said, you know, Frank Ferry's a really good public servant. Yet it took you so long to get in. Their union's already made a commitment to Secretary of State Mollis, one of your opponents for this post. So why did it take you so long to figure out what you're going to do?
When I first ran, I never expected to run for office. Okay, I was the underdog.
Right, unendorsed.
And I worked very hard for that seat. I probably worked the hardest I had worked for anything. And I had two opponents in the primary. I had two opponents in the general election. And I won both those races with 50% of the vote. So I'm going to work just as hard in this race.
Let's go to Ed Fitzpatrick.
Lieutenant Governor Robbins has spent a lot of time focused on health care. So I was curious how you would pay for the health care exchange going forward. That's going to be a big challenge.
I'm glad you asked that question because I've been involved in health care somehow for the past 7 years. As a matter of fact, when I first was elected, I went to seminars that the Lieutenant Governor had been presenting on health care, even before I walked into my first session. Because as a small business person, I know the challenges of health care and providing it for your employees. So I've been much involved in health care for 7 years, being a part of a coalition called Health Right that the Lieutenant Governor is a part of. And I want to continue that work on health care because we have a great start. We have a health care exchange that's probably one of the best in the country. We've made such progress. I want to continue what she started and make sure we achieve even more.
But where are we going to get the revenue to pay for it in the future?
There's in our whole healthcare world in Rhode Island, there's $9 billion that's spent in healthcare. There's estimates I've heard from 7 million to maybe 23 million, but that amounts to 0.02% of 1%. And the money is there. It's a small investment for a very large return.
Channel 10 reported last week how the names of Gordon Fox, Mike Corso, and former House Speaker Bill Murphy appeared on a document related to 38 Studios back in 2009. That's significant because it was previously thought that former Governor Don Carcheri paved the way for 38 Studios to come to Rhode Island in 2010. Frank Ferry, right now you're a state rep. What do you think should be done to get to the truth and the ultimate root of what happened with 38 Studios?
You know, everyone recognizes that this was a bad deal for the taxpayers. The General Assembly voted for the Jobs Creation Guarantee Program to give businesses access to much-needed capital to create jobs and to improve the economy. Clearly, the program didn't work because it didn't have enough oversight.
Ed Fitzpatrick, what's your takeaway from this revelation that Mike Corso, Gordon Fox, and Bill Murphy had some level of involvement with 38 Studios back in 2009?
Well, it moves that timeline back. You know, we had known about Kacheri being up there meeting with Schilling, so it moves it back and it raises the question of, I mean, even Coco Crisp was signing the non-disclosure agreement. So, you know, did Nixon, does it all go all the way to Trot Nixon? I don't know. But, you know, yeah, it moves it back and raises the question of what some of the House leaders knew and when.
How about you, Scott? What do you say?
Well, we have to decide whether this is just one of the most colossally stupid things Rhode Island government's ever done or whether it's criminal. Now, we have AG Peter Kilmartin looking into some of the shadier aspects of this thing. There are a lot of ironies here. Of course, Bill Murphy is now the lawyer for Gordon Fox in a criminal case. We have to be careful. No one's been charged with anything yet. You know, people are innocent until they go to trial and they're indicted. And I think that at this point, we have to be careful. But obviously, this is a real enigma. And I think the voters of this state and the taxpayers especially would like to get to the bottom of it. One thing, Representative Ferry, do you think we should pay the bond money, or should we default?
Everyone recognizes that this is a bad deal for taxpayers. And, you know, I don't want to see a bad situation made worse. Pursuing a strategy that could dramatically impact our bond rating, if that happens, it would cripple our ability to bond public projects and maybe lose thousands of jobs. I just don't think that's a risk that we should take.
A new WPRI Providence Journal poll out this week shows that the Democratic primary for governor remains up for grabs between Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo. Frank Ferry, who are you supporting for governor?
You know, I'm a proud Democrat, and I will campaign with and work with whoever is the nominee in our party.
What do you think will be decisive in this primary that looks like it's pretty much a race between Taveras and Raimondo, with Clay Pell lagging behind?
What will be decisive is true Democratic values and who the voters believe.
Scott, what are you looking for as this primary heats up between now and September?
Well, a couple of things jump out at you from the poll. First of all, nothing has really changed since the last Projo PRI poll back in February from Joe Fleming, veteran pollster, somebody who those of us in the media pretty much respect his numbers. So the race really hasn't been engaged yet, and there's only, 13 weeks to go. The thing I'm watching is, first of all, what happens to Pell? Is he going down? Does he crash and burn, or does he go up on TV and begin to get some traction? Right now, Pell is stuck. He's not going anywhere. The other thing is what happens in the dynamic between Raimondo and Taveras. I think one thing that's going to have to happen if Gina Raimondo is going to win this thing is she's going to have to do substantially better, particularly in the suburban communities among independent and unaffiliated voters. So that's a dynamic I'm watching right now.
Ed Fitzpatrick, we were both at a Democratic showcase last week where we heard the spiel from Pell, Raimondo, and Taveras. What is striking you about this primary?
Yeah, to pick up on the poll numbers, I think Raimondo has got she does better with the independents, so she has to bring them into the primary. And one new layer in the latest poll was the strength of support for each of the candidates, and you saw that Raimondo has had stronger support among the people who would vote for her. So, you know, Angel's got to shore up his base, and Pell, you know, he's got he's trailing in third there, but 22% of the voters are unsure who they're going to vote for. He's got to focus on them and start spending some of the $2 million he's put into the race.
Yeah, it's still a wide open race.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're almost out of time here, but real quickly, Frank Ferry, the owner of the Superman building, made a new pitch this week for state aid. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello says that money is not going to be in the budget. What do you think should be done about that vacant building in downtown Providence?
Well, first, I'm encouraged about talk about the project going ahead and revitalizing downtown Providence. I haven't decided what I would do. I'm on a look. I know that Senator Josh Miller has a bill. He had a hearing. I look forward to talking to the senator and seeing what both sides said about this before I make any decision.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Providence Journal political columnist Edward Fitzpatrick.
Thank you.
And State Representative Frank Ferry, who's also a candidate for lieutenant governor.
Thank you so much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.